The King of Kings appears. The voice of God is heard declaring the day and hour of Jesus' coming. The Israel of God stand listening, their countenances lighted up with His glory. Soon there appears in the east a small black cloud. It is the cloud which surrounds the Savior. In solemn silence the people of God gaze upon it as it draws nearer, until it is a great white cloud, its base a glory like consuming fire, and above it the rainbow of the covenant. Not now a man of sorrows, Jesus rides forth as a mighty conqueror. Holy angels, a vast, unnumbered throng, attend him, 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. Every eye beholds the Prince of Life. A diadem of glory rests on his brow. His countenance outshines the noonday sun. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. The King of Kings descends upon the cloud, wrapped in flaming fire. The earth trembles before him, our God shall come, and shall not keep silence, a fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above, and to the earth, that he may judge his people. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and every bondman, and every freeman, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Derisive jests have ceased, lying lips hushed. Naught is heard but the voice of prayer and the sound of weeping. The wicked pray to be buried beneath the rocks rather than meet the face of him whom they have despised. That voice which penetrates the ear of the dead, they know. How often have its tender tones called them to repentance? How often has it been heard in the entreaties of a friend, a brother, a redeemer? That voice awakens memories of warnings despised and invitations refused. There are those who mocked Christ in his humiliation. He declared, Hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, and coming in the clouds of heaven. Now they behold him in his glory, they are yet to see him sitting on the right hand of power. There is the haughty Herod who jeered at his royal title. There are the men who placed upon his brow the thorny crown and in his hand the mimic scepter, those who bowed before him in blasphemous mockery, who spat upon the Prince of Life. They seek to flee from his presence. Those who drove the nails through his hands and feet behold these marks with terror and remorse. With awful distinctness priests and rulers recall the events of Calvary, how, wagging their heads in satanic exultation, they exclaimed, He saved others, himself he cannot save. Louder than the shout, Crucify him, crucify him. Which rang through Jerusalem, swells the despairing wail, He is the Son of God. They seek to flee from the presence of the King of Kings. In the lives of all who reject truth there are moments when conscience awakens, when the soul is harassed with vain regrets. But what are these compared with the remorse of that day? In the midst of their terror they hear the voices of the saints exclaiming, Lo, this is our God, we have waited for him, and he will save us. The voice of the Son of God calls forth the sleeping saints. Throughout the earth the dead shall hear that voice, and they that hear shall live, a great army of every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. From the prison house of death they come, clothed with immortal glory, crying, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? All come forth from their graves the same in stature as when they entered the tomb. But all arise with the freshness and vigor of eternal youth. Christ came to restore that which had been lost. He will change our vile bodies and fashion them like unto his glorious body. The mortal, corruptible form, once polluted with sin, becomes perfect, beautiful and immortal. Blemishes and deformities are left in the grave. The redeemed will grow up, to the full stature of the race in its primeval glory, the last lingering traces of the curse of sin removed. Christ's faithful ones will in mind and soul and body reflect the perfect image of their Lord. The living righteous are changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. At the voice of God they are made immortal and with the risen saints are caught up to meet their Lord in the air. Angels gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Little children are born to their mother's arms. Friends long separated by death are united, never more depart, and with songs of gladness ascend together to the city of God.